Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Gabby Pinedo and Mary Maldonado, who are a part of the prayer group at St. Philip's Catholic Church. How are you, ladies?
Fine, thanks.
Fine. Very happy to be here with you, Margaret. Thank you.
Likewise, I'm also very happy that you're here with me, and I'm looking forward to talking about prayer and talking about your role. Now, Gabby, you're the facilitator at the prayer group. Before we talk about what you do, the different types of prayers, what you study at this prayer group, I'd like to get to know a little bit about you. So can you share?
Sure. I'm from Mexico City. I came to the States in 79 when I was 19. I was very young. And I was part of a charismatic prayer group up in Michigan. And then I met my husband there, but we got married a couple years later. We married, it'll be 25 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. A quarter of a century. And we have four boys, ranging from 23 to 15. And I have a degree in education from Eastern Michigan University. But I'm a homestay mom, and the rest of the time I volunteer my service to the church, to the parish, in different capacities.
Well, what a blessing that you're a stay-at-home mother. I know a lot of us would really enjoy doing that. Our culture has given us a different role, but I really admire the women that get to stay at home and be with, what, you said four boys?
Four boys,
I can imagine that was a handful.
It was a handful, yes. I have two now at home, but I'm enjoying every minute of it because they grow fast, and the next thing you know, they're gone.
They're out of the house.
One in the Marines and one in college and two in high school, so...
Well, wonderful. How about you, Mary? Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I'm originally from San Angelo, Texas. Moved to Corpus Christi with my husband, who's an attorney here in town. I'm also a stay-at-home mom, mother of three children. One recently graduated from law school, one still in college, and a sophomore daughter.
So I have two stay-at-home mothers here. Can you tell me, let's talk about motherhood then.
Can you
tell me the importance of being there with your children, raising them in the faith? Obviously, they're quite successful children that you've had. Tell me a little bit more about that.
You know, for us as a couple, it was never a question if I was going to go out in the workforce or not. We decided very early that I was going to stay home. And eventually, if I needed to work, Chris was going to do anything in his power to keep me at home. And I was very much at peace with that, you know, because I had been also doing some service in different capacities in the church. So I knew that there will be an outlet for me to be doing something besides raising my children. And that has been the case since then, you know. So I'm very glad. There were times when I wanted to be away. I will not deny that. But the fact that I could be there, you know, and just helping them through. And sometimes my boys kind of complain, you know, well, you know, this and that. And I say, you know, you need to be thankful that I've been home. You know, there are many of your classmates who, you know, definitely don't have that. And then, you know, after a little sermon, then they go, well, yes, mother, I got your point. You know, it's okay. So.
And as they get older, they get more gratitude for their parents.
Yes.
Would you agree, Mary?
Yes, I do. I think there were times when my kids kind of looked down on, you know, why are you home? Aren't you motivated? Mm-hmm. And unlike Gabby, I planned to be a professional woman. I have a finance degree from the University of Texas. But once I had my first son, I worked for a few months, and it was torture. I knew I wanted to be home every single minute, and I don't regret it at all.
Well, what a blessing, and it's great to be in great company of mothers that are
raising their
children in the faith. I myself have two young daughters, mm-hmm. and they attend Most Precious Blood, and it's amazing to see them grow up. And it's not easy. It's a challenge in today's culture to raise our kids, and mm-hmm. so it's important to raise them in a house of prayer and mm-hmm. a faith-filled house. Let's go ahead and talk about then the prayer group at St. Philip's Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Gabby, you are the facilitator. Can you tell me a little bit about the prayer group?
Sure. You know, about almost 12 years ago, me and a couple other friends from St. Philip's were attending another prayer group at St. Patrick's on Friday mornings. And after a while, I remember thinking, you know, we can start something like this at St. Philip's. So I talked to them and I say, hey, let's just ask Father Tom McKethry. He was our pastor then. And they said, sure, you know. So we asked permission and we started it in the year 2000 in September. And we invited just friends, you know, and for 2 years we were all together. There were a couple Hispanics in the group. There was myself and I think three or four more. And one day talking about it, they told me, you know, Gabby, I have friends who want to come, but they rather have something in Spanish, and there is nothing here in Spanish, at least in our parish. And I had been, that was actually my first dream, I will say, that I had in my heart since I moved from Michigan, where I was living, in starting something in Spanish. So I said, you know, let's pray about it. And I talked to my American friends, and I said, you know, there is this idea, this desire of start something new with Spanish, you know. And they gave me their blessing. They said, oh, sure, go ahead. So, you know, the next thing I know, we start meeting. We will meet the same day across the hall. And, you know, the next thing I know, there were 12, 15 women, you know, friend of a friend of a friend, you know. And it was just awesome because we realized that there was a big need there. And we were the loudest, you know. Sometimes, you know, they were quiet across the hall and, you know. And eventually they moved to a different day. And then that group ended dissolving because some of the women began to be very active in the formation of the Good Shepherd Catechism at my parish. So that was how the Lord led them. But, you know, we stay. Mary joined the group back then. And we've been growing. So it's been an amazing journey, you know, because we've been, some of us have been together about 10 years. And we have people that come and go because their husbands, you know, got transfer or they go back to their countries. But the main purpose of the group, my intent was, or my desire was to help Hispanic women come to know the Lord in a deeper way through the study of Scripture. Because I had been very blessed in being in a different setting in my early 20s where Scripture was very much part of my life. And I realized that Catholic women just didn't have that experience. So I will be looking for anything I could get my hands on that was in Spanish. So we started. I remember our first meeting. I said, I want you to bring a Bible, but don't bring the one that they gave you when you get married, you know, in the Hispanic
that's a pretty
culture.
Big one. Yeah.
It's a big one, very fancy, and you have it at the entrance of your house.
There
or
you
like
go.
a piece of art or something, you know. And it was very interesting to see them, some of them bringing a Bible that it has never been opened. Mm-hmm. Another one, I remember Claudia brought this beautiful Bible that had a little pouch with a sand from the Holy Land. And I said, no, this is like a relic or something. And I said, you need to find something that you understand. So I explained to them the differences in translation so they could find a Bible that was easy to understand in Spanish.
So in particular, this prayer group is in Spanish, it's for only women?
Only women, yes. We meet in the mornings, Tuesday mornings from 9:30 to 11:30. There is a lot of ministries that go in the evenings, but, you know, since most of us were homestay moms, I wanted something in the morning before the kids, you know, came back from school. So it has worked out pretty well.
Wonderful. Now, Mary, can you tell me a little bit about your participation in the prayer group and what's inspired you to get involved and why you're still there?
Okay. I actually joined when we were still just one group. And then when the prayer groups split up, I stayed with the English-speaking prayer group. And then there was something missing, and I ended up going there because I struggle a little bit more with Spanish than I do with English. But it's really paid off. It's helped me, and I've formed a lot of really good relationships. I've always been a student. I like to study. I like to read. I like to learn more. And I think this prayer group has really helped me in that area. We do a lot of really good studies. Like Gabby says, I've grown more comfortable studying Scripture, looking things up if I don't understand them. We've also learned to use the catechism. And so it's really helped me grow closer to the Lord.
Now, Blessed John Paul II wrote a letter to women, and he yes. spoke about the feminine genius. And mm-hmm. I think in today's culture, it's really important to uplift the female, mm-hmm. To remind them of their dignity, to remind them mm-hmm. of their worth, to remind them that they are a feminine genius. So it seems as though this is what the prayer group assists with. So, Gabby, can you share what are some of the things that you all do discuss?
Okay. Well, you know, part of being able to study something is finding the right material, praying about it, and realizing that it's something that will be applicable to our group. So we've gone through different studies, and I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, the letter of John Paul II, because we just finished this past year a beautiful study called Women of Grace from Janet Benkovic, who has her program on EWTN. They translated it into Spanish a couple years ago, and it's a fabulous, fabulous study on the role of women. And it was, I think, one of our best. We had done it in English, and our discussions were in Spanish, but once I knew they translated, I thought, let's do it again. You know, everybody's like, let's do it again, mm-hmm. because we didn't catch as much before.
Gabby and Mary, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the book Full of Grace. Stay with us.
This is Labors of Love.
Those couples who were married civilly or others who wish their marriage to be validated in the Catholic Church will need to attend a convalidation seminar for information and instruction. The next convalidation seminar will be held at St. Peter Prince of the Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road, on Saturday, October 13th. You may register online by visiting diocesecc.com/convalidation form. To learn more, please call the Diocese Office of Family Life at 882-6191.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guests, Gabby Pinedo and Mary Maldonado, who are involved at St. Philip's Catholic Church in the Spanish Prayer Group. Now, before the break, we talked about the prayer group, and it really sounds exciting that you're getting women together, mm-hmm. and we're learning what it means to be a woman of faith.
A woman of faith, yes. This year, after praying and discerning, we have a name, which it is Caminando en la Fe, Walking in Faith. And that's what we're doing, trying to grow in our understanding that it's a journey. You know, faith in what? Faith in God, first of all, and then in the church that He has placed us. So.
And it's amazing, having a woman of faith in the household. I don't know if y'all have ever heard, if the mother's not happy, then no one's happy, right?
Yes, or absolutely.
If the mother prays and everyone else prays, and even my children can feed off of my energy and my mood. And it's yes. really important that, mm-hmm. especially mothers, but women in general, that we yeah. have a positive attitude. So we have this book Full of Grace that you spoke about before the break, and you get some of your themes for the prayer group from books like this. Can you talk a little
right.
bit about it?
Yeah, we've done different studies. You know, one called The Sound of His Voice, and it was about discerning how God speaks to us throughout the day, through different people, things, the church, you know, mass, different things. We've done one on the seven capital sins called Bathe Seven Times. That was very powerful. But the one I was talking that I really love a lot was Full of Grace. It was translated into Spanish, Mujeres de Gracia. And it's very powerful because it combines the Catholic Church's teaching on women through the apostolic letters of John Paul II, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the lives of the saints, and it includes a bunch of different things on the role of women in the church.
You know, speaking of the role of women in the church, there's this saint, Saint Gianna, that
yes.
I really appreciate, and I do ask for her intercession. Now, she is the first career mother.
Right.
That is a saint. She's a modern saint. And myself being a career mother, I really look up to her and pray that I can be as grace-filled as she is.
Yes.
So thank you, St. Gianna, for your life and for your role.
Yes. And, you know, it was just this century that she was canonized, being a doctor and a wife, mm-hmm. a tremendous gift to the Church of the Sacrifice for Life.
So let's talk a little bit about the different type of women then that you have in your prayer group. Mary, can you share with us? I understand there's a lot of diversity in this group. How many nationalities? What are the ages of the women? Where do they come from?
Okay. Right now our group is made up of 7 nationalities from American. We have a lot of Mexican women. We have women from Colombia, Peru, El Salvador,
Venezuela.
And we range from age early 20s up until
96 is our oldest 96. Member.
Wow.
And it's very neat. It's a neat dynamic because I would say a lot of the more established members are in their 40s and 50s, early 60s. But it's nice to hear, to see the enthusiasm of the younger girls and the wisdom of the older grandmas that tell us, you know, slow down, enjoy this time you have with your children mm-hmm. because it goes by fast. So it's very neat to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm excited to hear that there's younger women in this group. Can you all share with me? I know that I've noticed in a lot of these different groups that we have the older generation. In one of my shows, they talked about the more experienced or seasoned people. Yeah. But why is it important to have our younger generation, our younger women in groups like this?
Well, you know, Scripture talks about, I think it's St. Paul in his letter to Timothy, encouraging the older women to teach the younger women. So if the older generation is not passing on their experiences of faith, of living, something is wrong there because we're not fulfilling what the Lord requires of us. On the other hand, you have the society that is very much oriented to how fruitful or useful you are. So you reach certain age and they don't pay attention to you anymore. You are not providing society anything else. And how wrong, because the Church says, wait a minute. On the contrary, you are very valuable. So when the Lord began sending women, younger women, because when we started, a bunch of us have toddlers, and now they're in high school. So the Lord here brings younger women who have kids in elementary school. We had a couple babies that were born, you know, throughout the years in the prayer group. And we realized their thirst for that advice of the older women saying, you're okay, you know, this is the path. But at the same time, they have challenges because they are embracing the gospel. After doing this study on Full of Grace, it was amazing the testimonies of some of the younger women. There is a specific lesson on obedience to the Church where, you know, we address the issue of not using contraception and, you know, the order in the family and this and that. And we had one beautiful young woman from Venezuela sharing with us about how God convicted her through this study that it was wrong to use contraception. And here she's standing up and she's just sharing, you know, she's outgoing. And I'm just saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. So they need to hear, younger women need to hear the message of how valuable they are before God, but also how the Church as the mother is embracing them, not condemning them, but embracing them. There is a lot of healing that the new generation is going through because of the issues of our time that we didn't go through. So, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was born in Corpus Christi. I attended Miller High School. I left to San Antonio for a few years, but the culture didn't necessarily say that it embraced me. I wasn't the skinny, size zero young woman. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the long, beautiful hair. I wasn't the cheerleader type. Yeah. And so you're right. Our culture says, well, I'm going to discard you. You're not that important to me because you don't value what I value. Mm-hmm. And so our young women of today, again, need to be uplifted mm-hmm. and realize that things like this are not a waste of their time. Prayer groups like this mm-hmm. really uplift who they are as women, offer them dignity. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, do you have any particular stories you'd like to share of women that have had their lives changed? Mm-hmm. Is there any particular story that have really touched your hearts?
Well, Mary, you can share about what we were talking about earlier, you know, how this helped help you to see that women are valuable.
Yes, I grew up cradle Catholic and always felt a little marginalized as a female. And this study really opened my eyes because I had not been really grasping a lot of what the gospel was telling us. And, you know, as women, we have a special role. We are called to be deliverers of a lot of society's ills. We are the leaders. And it really helped me. It lifted me up and it let me know that I had a special role to play.
You know, we're going to have this new evangelization. A lot of us know about the new evangelization that we're focusing on and the year of faith that's coming up. And I think that a good focus on being a woman in today's society, because we do have to realize what our surroundings are, but being a woman in today's society would be a good thing to focus on for the new evangelization. Again, our daughters of God really need the role model of ladies like you. And prayer groups like this to say you are worthy, you are valuable, you are a child of God, you deserve dignity. Things like contraception, well, that prevents them from being a fully dignified person.
Absolutely.
It stops a natural process. Well, they don't see that because everyone says, oh, well, you don't want to have a child right now. Here you go. This will take care of you, as opposed to be responsible, wait until you're married, have a spouse that will love you and take care of you, because guess what? You're that important.
Right. Well, and not only that, but each of us that comes from different countries has brought some baggage, cultural baggage from our own culture, you know, the Mexicans, the Venezuelans, you know. And here we're trying to say, okay, you might have this, but we are all Catholic women. And just by that fact, Jesus is inviting us into a new kingdom, a new way of living your life out in a society that goes against that, and giving them the tools, you know. So in the prayer group, you know, we sing at the beginning, then we take time to pray, to worship the Lord, you know, to really adore him. And then we pray, we write our petitions in a little piece of paper, and then we go into study. But at the same time, throughout the week, we become a family. You know, we've gone to baptisms and first communions and weddings, funerals. You know, so it's a whole, different package, like a piñata that has all kinds of things inside.
Well, I can imagine getting a group full of women together and hearing all of the different stories. What would you share with other women out there that are interested in being a part of this type of group? How would you encourage them to join something in their parish?
Well, you know, if you are not up to start one, come and join us. We would love to have you. But I think that the heart of every pastor, every parish, is to have women who have initiative, who say, you know, Pastor, can you come alongside of me and help me out? And God will open. And pray, first of all, pray. Pray about it, where the Lord wants you. Maybe he wants you to join one so you get the feel of it, get experience, and then be open to be used. You only need one other mom, you know, to begin praying together.
Wonderful. And Mary, any last words for our audience?
Just that I'm very grateful and thankful to Gabby and to Father Han and Father Tom for our prayer group. They provided a place for us. And Gabby works really hard at finding studies that are really going to be beneficial to us, and has to do a lot of research to find them in Spanish. But she's a blessing to us.
Well, thank you, Gabby, for everything that you do. Stay with us. Sacred Moments and Deacon Nolte are up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever marveled at the glory of a sunrise or the magnificence of a full moon? Do you ever sit and listen to the songs that burst forth from the birds each morning, or the chatter with which they end every day? The sights and sounds, smells and touches that abound in the created world around us all attest to the glory of the Creator. A rose blooms simply because that is what it is created to do. It doesn't set up a stage and demand attention, and yet its fragrance entices many. It doesn't seek to enhance itself, yet its beauty is great and visible to all. The rose simply exists, as it is. Its bush is dependent upon the sun for energy. It relies on rain to water the soil, from which it receives the nutrients it needs to survive. Its blooms give to butterflies and bees nectar and pollen for nourishment, and receive from them the gift of pollination, without which it would be barren. We would do well to learn from the rose, to be as we were created to be. But to do so, we need to know who we are and why we were created. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us that from the beginning mankind was created in God's image and likeness. This gives us an immediate insight to answer the questions of who we are and why we were created, namely that we are to image God, to reveal Him to the rest of creation. And secondly, it tells us that we are to be like God, in relationship with Him, with ourselves, with one another, and with all of creation, even as God the Father is in relation to the Son and Holy Spirit, to us and to His creation. We image God in what we do, and we are like Him in how we are. The two go together and are dependent one upon the other. We act as we act because we are as we are. Like God, we are spirit, unseen but known. We know the spirit exists because it animates our body. Without its presence, we are nothing more than lifeless matter, dust from the ground. The essential activities of this spirit is to give life, to know and to love. Our likeness to God is seen in our relationships. We relate to ourselves through knowing and loving what we are. We relate to others by knowing and loving them. We relate to creation in our knowledge and care for it. And finally, we relate to God in our dependence upon Him for our existence, much like the rose relies upon the soil, the rain, and insects for its survival. The rose does not seek to be more than what it is. It embodies all of the beauty and goodness, truth and unity of God's thought of it. From eternity, God has smiled upon it and all of creation. He has poured forth His love upon it all, but none so much as man. Only man did He make in His image and likeness, to be like unto Him as no other creature. What is more than what He has given us? Should we dare to seek to make ourselves out to be more than what we are? May God grant us the wisdom to desire only that for which He created us. May we always seek to embrace the gift of being, to image Him in our relationships, and to be like Him in our labors as a gift of love to one another. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Gabby Pinedo and Mary Maldonado, for sharing with us the importance of faith formation and being a part of Bible studies. If you'd like more information, please call Gabby at 361-853-3909. And thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.